This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Baseball going on across many of our screens here. Red Sox have taken a 2-0 lead over the Diamondbacks. Phillies have a 2-0 lead as well. Orioles 6-4 trying to complete a 4-game sweep of the Rays and about to get underway at Wrigley Field tonight, our primetime game of the night. The Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs right now at DraftKings. The Chicago Cubs, a $1.55 favorite. White Sox plus 145. And fortunately for us, we can get some insight on that game right now.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Johnny Avello joins us every Monday and he runs DraftKings Sportsbook and he joins us right now courtesy of our progressive guest line. Johnny, Cubs minus $1.55, White Sox plus 145. Massive series with the Cubs right now owning the top wild card spot, trying to chase down the Brewers in the NL Central. And how about the White Sox? 5.5 game lead in the AL Central. How's the betting action been for you guys for White Sox Cubs and anything of note heading into this game just a couple minutes from now?
Yeah, well, good evening, fellas. And it's been a while since the White Sox and the Cubs have played any games that have any meaning to them. But with the, you know, White Sox having the season that they're having, after having just a horrible couple of seasons prior to, game has some meaning to it. And the game was bet White Sox there were some on straight bets. White Sox took some money with the plus. I see the Cubs are in some parlay. So for us, it's probably not that big of a decision. But it's nice to have both of those teams in contention.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that at the top of the show. Rarely do you see the White Sox and Cubs play games that mean something in August or September. But we have one of those spots tonight. And that's why it's our game of the night here at Wrigley Field. Johnny, later in this hour, we're going to see Blake Snell on the mound for the Dodgers. Minus 257 at DraftKings, minus 280 here at Circa. And right now, Dodgers plus 170 to win the World Series at DraftKings. We talked about this last week when you were on. Would you bet the no on the Dodgers to win the World Series? And you said, yes, you would bet the no. And I'm thinking about betting the no as well. The price has only ticked up 10 cents. At one point, it was plus 160, now 170. What type of World Series future action have you seen in the last week or two?
Well, we continue to see action on, you know, Red Sox and Yankees. You know, some teams that have had some pretty good – well, first of all, Red Sox, I should say, had a good run. The Yankees are just a popular team overall. Phillies are seeing some action as of late. Mets, who are usually a team I can honestly tell you will take action all year long, just absolutely no eyes on the Mets whatsoever over the past 3 weeks to a month. Unfortunate, because you know me, I'm a Met fan. Dodgers not taking a lot of money at this point at that price. So Orioles, you know, some flyers on them since they're playing a little bit of better baseball as of late. So, you know, the bettors are taking some shots here and there, some longer prices, and thinking maybe the Dodgers are not the team this year. Now, with all that being said, Matt, you know, the Dodgers could turn it around certainly when the playoffs begin, and they certainly have the horses to get it done. But, you know, my thinking is that the price is too short, you know, for them to win it. And if you can lay a no, which is a short price also, might be a good opportunity, because you probably have an opportunity to get off of that too during the playoffs. I'm sure there's going to be a time where the Dodgers are down a game or, you know, 2-1 at some point during the series, even if they won the whole thing.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it's happened actually the past couple of years with the Dodgers in the playoffs. Things can change quickly in baseball. We got about 6 weeks until we get to October. And that Dodgers starting rotation is going to look pretty intimidating when we get there. But how about the two teams we just talked about playing tonight? The Cubs at 12-1 and the White Sox at 25-1. Any action on the Chicago teams?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Both of them. The Cubs are only 12-1. And the Cubs are a popular team each and every year, even when they aren't good, but they are in the hunt. And the White Sox were a much bigger number than, and now they're only 25-1. And they were, you know, 150, 200. They were a really big price at the beginning of the season and even after the season started. So there's money continuously coming in on them, as well as the Cubs will continuously take money also.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook, joining us, giving us the latest from behind the counter, as he does each and every Monday. Johnny, starting in a couple weeks, we'll be getting ready for kickoff of Monday Night Football when you join us here for your weekly spot. And we had a full weekend of preseason action, a lot of unders, a lot of underdogs, which tends to be good for the house. How was your weekend betting results for this preseason week one?
It was okay. I wouldn't call it great. The handle is really small compared to what you're going to find in a regular season NFL game. You know, some of the games aren't even handling as much as, you know, some of the baseball games. So, but overall, it's okay. There are some games we haven't done well on, even though some of the dogs prevailed. And then some we have. So it's kind of a mixed bag. So I would just say overall, can't say it's great. Just say it's okay.
Underdogs 9-6-1 straight up, 11-4-1 ATS, unders 12-4. And as we noted in the first hour, if you chase the steam on every three-point line move or more before kickoff, Johnny Steam Chaser, 0-10-1 ATS. You don't see that too often, do you? Because these steam moves are typically sharp in the preseason. They did not win in the first week.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because sometimes maybe the guys that are out there making the market moves are taken back the other side at some point once the game has moved so much. So you don't know what side the sharps are actually on. I know if I bet a game and it moves 6 points, I certainly would take something back on the other side and have myself an opportunity to win at least one, if not both.
You know, speaking of line moves, I get asked this question a lot, so I'm curious. When you look at line moves in the regular season, we're never going to see, very rarely, barring an injury, a drastic move like that. How quick are you guys to move the number in the preseason and move it aggressively like you saw in week one?
Well, threes won't hold up, first of all. Threes are no big deal. We'll go from one right to two. We'll go from one right to the other side, one or one and a half. So we move really fast, Timmy. I mean, there's no reason to be holding a game in preseason, especially when we don't have, you know, the full array of players that really make the complexion of the team. We're just still, coaches are still trying to see if guys are going to make the squad, number one, still trying to feel it out to see Hooters' second string quarterback might be. So a lot of uncertainty from the coaches. So certainly we're not going to be holding the number on any of these games.
Couple of games on Thursday night. Johnny, Raiders are 1.5-point dogs at Houston. Chargers won 1.5-point favorites over the 49ers. Raiders quarterbacks looked pretty good in the first game. The defense did not. Any takeaways from you on specific teams when you watched the first week?
No, not really. I mean, there's just not much that I can say about teams, off of one preseason game. One thing I will tell you that Houston playing the Raiders would be a much bigger number than 1.5. So obviously, you know, it's preseason. And the other game, the Chargers or the 49ers, that probably would be close to the correct number if they were playing a regular season game. So some of these lines, you look at them and say, how can that be? That team is so much better. Well, because of just what I just got done saying is that we don't really know, who's going to be playing from the starting side, and the coaches are still taking a look at these guys. So, and the Raiders team, Raiders better win as many games as they can during preseason, because I don't know how many they're going to win during the regular season.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director with us, and talking NFL preseason. Johnny, Scottie Scheffler finally got it done. 5-1 here at Circa. I think DraftKings had around 460, 480, something like that. But Scottie's so close so many times. A runaway win in Memphis over the weekend. What was that result like at DraftKings?
Okay, Matt, it turned out pretty good. I mean, he was short and, you know, sure, he's taking some money here and there. And in game, he took more, you know, when people thought that he was going to be a clear-cut winner. So, no, overall, we did good on it. You know, for the BMW Championship now, he's even a shorter favorite. He's getting back to those numbers that he was when he was red hot. I wouldn't call him red hot, but I still think he had a tremendous year. You know, if you take anybody else had that year, they'd be very happy. He was, you know, didn't win as many as he thought he would win, but he was in the mix every game. And it all, he put it all together last week.
Yeah, I think he's had 10 top 10s, maybe five runner-up finishes. But, Tim, that's the first time Scotty won since early in 2026.
Wow, yeah. And it was nice for any of those like Matt who had Scotty in pocket. No sweat on Sunday, right?
No. No sweat.
Bogey on three, and then after that, it was just smooth sailing for Scotty to a dominant victory. Johnny, always appreciate the insight, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
You know, Matt, after we do our show next Monday, you and I are going to hop on an airplane, going to fly out to Honolulu.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we got the VSIN private jet. We're going to fly. I tell you, I'm glad we're going next week and not this week because the hurricane, the tropical storm that hit Hawaii, pretty well, I'd say the weather's not ideal out there right now.
No, it is not. So hopefully everyone, I know a lot of power outages out in Oahu, so hopefully people are starting to get their power back. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we'll go to Cleveland, get the latest on the quarterback competition between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders.
VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, if you are backing the Cubs tonight, I'd say this is a promising start, Matt Eumanns. Luis Castillo, who was shipped over to the White Sox from the Mariners, first two batters he faced were Pete Crow Armstrong and Seiya Suzuki. Matt, what do those two guys do?
Homer, back to back. And the Cubs fans at Wrigley pretty excited about this start tonight. Cubs right around minus 154 when the game started after those back-to-back homers. The price has gone up, Tim, to minus 523. Ooh. At DraftKings. I did, I was telling you, I put some favorites on a baseball parlay tonight. Just give me something to follow here during the show tonight. And I don't typically do this, but it's a Monday night, very slow. I put the Cubs on a parlay with the Red Sox. And I put the Royals on a parlay with the Dodgers. And we'll see. Dodgers might blow that up later tonight. They're the biggest of the favorites. But the Royals have taken a 3-1 lead, and the Red Sox are up 3-0 in the D-backs at Fenway. So we'll see how this turns out tonight.
Pete Crow Armstrong right now at FanDuel, plus 110 to win NL MVP. Shohei Ohtani minus $1.35. Shohei reports were, I believe they announced it, that they are anticipating him pitching a little bit in September. So we did see a shift in that market back to Ohtani being the favorite.
I don't think he's going to win MVP, though. And if you've been watching Shohei, hey, there is something wrong with his knee. He's just not quite right with the knee. He's been chasing a lot of bad pitches. And I think Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be your MVP. I know Doug Kazarian's been banging this drum. When he's not tweeting about the WNBA, he's been talking about betting PCA to win MVP. And I actually think that's a good bet. I think Crow Armstrong's going to win it.
PCA leads the National League, I think maybe all of baseball, in WAR right now at 7.3. And it has been, you know, Sammy P, when he joined us in studio, he's at this game covering it for the Fox affiliate in Chicago. He talked about it's not just his hitting, which has been fantastic, but it's also the defense that he brings as well. And Shohei Ohtani, obviously, the pitching from earlier in the year, it all's all put together. But, yeah, we will see. But Chicago Cubs lead 2-0 right now over the Chicago White Sox. Pete Crow Armstrong, his 29th home run of the season, and Seiya Suzuki followed it up with another home run as well. You mentioned you have a Cubs-Red Sox parlay here, so let's update folks on the Boston Red Sox taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks very much in the thick of it for a wild card spot, but the Red Sox have a 3-0 lead right now. A Durbin RBI single here in the bottom of the third inning has given them a 3-0 lead. So good start for the Boston Red Sox, Matt, as they lead 3-0. Top of the fourth inning, that game at Fenway Park.
Let's see if the Red Sox can get back on track. I mean, hottest team on the planet, 27-3 over 30 games. Now 3-7 over their past 10.
Dropped a series to the A's, Blue Jays, and dropped a series over the weekend on the road at PNC against the Pirates. But still right now in the second spot and a second AL wildcard spot. The team who was in the third American League wildcard spot is a bit surprising. That would be the Baltimore Orioles, who are inching closer, Matt, to completing a four-game sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. Now they're in a little bit of trouble. Bottom of the seventh, no outs, men on first and second here. So maybe this would be the spot to potentially look at the Rays live at plus 149. But 6-4, bottom seven, first and second right now for the Tampa Bay Rays as they try to avoid a four-game sweep and get into this deficit as they trail to the Baltimore Orioles. And we're going to get a run here for the Rays, and they're about to flip to the favorite, Matt. So 6-5 is about to be the score, and the Tampa Bay Rays, with no outs, are about to flip to a favorite here as we get an RBI single to left center. Rays now $1.43 favorite against the Orioles, 6-5. Bottom of the seventh inning, men on first and second, no outs.
Man, this game has been a live betting roller coaster in Tampa tonight. By the way, you know what's ironic, too? You were talking about four teams from the American League East could make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that won't? The Toronto Blue Jays. The team that looked like it was going to win Game 7 of the World Series, the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Hard to believe. The Mets right now up 2-1 on the San Diego Padres. The Padres right now are tied with the Phillies for that last wild card. It's actually second and third wild card spot. They have identical records in that one. Matt, still to come. The Los Angeles Dodgers are going to start a series against the Colorado Rockies. Blake Snell, a minus 280 favorite at Circa on the road against the Colorado Rockies. Do the Dodgers exercise some demons after dropping 3-4 to the Brewers over the weekend?
I don't know about that. And Dodgers, there's something not quite right with this team right now. We talked last week, are the Dodgers old and slow? They looked at over the weekend against the Brewers. We'll see. But, you know, by the time you get to October, maybe things change. And this team looks different. Maybe Mookie Betts is hitting. Who knows? But the way this starting pitching lines up, it could be a dominant staff when you get to the playoffs. Blake Snell has made one start in his return. That was on August 11th against Kansas City. He was great in terms of strikeouts. Six innings, three hits, one walk, 10 strikeouts in that game against KC. Dodgers won 5-4 in 10 innings, thanks to Mookie Betts having a big night. But this is going to be only Snell's second start since he's been back, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's not that sharp and he labors through the start tonight at Coors Field. But it's just it's a tough game to bet. You got to lay a big price with the Dodgers. And Blake Snell, typically not a guy who's going to go deep into a game. Dodgers' bullpen's been shaky. But Snell, I thought, was much better than expected, Tim, in his first start because he did strike out 10.
Matt, over the weekend, we just talked about it with Johnny Avello. You were happy on Sunday. Scotty Scheffler, 8-stroke win down in Memphis. Yeah. It was his second PGA Tour win of 8-plus strokes over the last 40 years. That's tied for the second most of any player on the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods did it 10 times.
Well, Scotty, if he can start winning some more majors, he can put himself in that category with the greats like Jack and Tiger. He's got a ways to go in terms of he got shut out in the majors this year. I thought he should have won at Augusta, but he came up short against Rory. Sam Burns was the best outcome for me if he had won Sunday at 23-1, but I wasn't that optimistic. Sam Burns has got just a tendency to fade on Sundays. He did again. He shot 62 on Saturday and 73 on Sunday. But Scotty with the 66 coasted to a win by 8 strokes. And rarely do you get a rocking chair winner in golf, but we had one on Sunday.
Well, let's hear from Scotty Scheffler discussing the challenging year for him finally getting back with a victory.
Yeah, I think when you're close and you know, it's not easy to win out here. And I felt like this year, the year that I've had, kind of shows that. how difficult it is. We have a lot of talented guys, and I'd played some really solid golf over the year, over the course of this year, but I hadn't played much, you know, kind of great golf. And, you know, like I said, I had my close calls and, you know, lost a couple playoffs. So it was nice coming into a day in which I had the lead and able to hold that lead and really kind of build on it as the round went on. And, you know, I felt like a week like this was coming, and I felt like I was on repeat all year, just being like, hey, you know, I'm playing solid, I'm close, and it feels good to be answering some different questions at the end of this week.
The putting was very strong, man. As of, I don't know if he hit another one, but Justin Ray mentioned 13 putts of 10-plus feet this week, two more than anyone else in the field. That was yesterday during his final round.
Well, sometimes as a golfer, you feel very comfortable on certain greens. And obviously, Scotty loved those greens in Memphis. You could tell that in the first couple rounds. Well, I mean, what have we talked about, Tim, after most of these majors or big tournaments? Scotty missing 10 putts from inside 8 feet, you know, or something like that. The stats were totally different this time. Putting makes all the difference. I thought Scotty's iron play was outstanding, too. Actually, every aspect of his game was sharp. And I would expect him to carry it over this week as well. When Jim Nantz said last week that he expected Scotty to win one of the playoff events, I think Nantz had a pretty good feel for what was going to happen here. And Scotty's on top of his game. He's playing the best he has all year right now. And putting a big part of it. He just looked like a totally different guy in the greens.
They'll be at Belle Reve this week, out just outside St. Louis, the site of the 2019 PGA Championship for the BMW Championship. And
By the way, we have a source on the course, Chris Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
Serious sports bettor, big VSIN fan. I've known Hartman for years. He was here at Circuit last week. Hartman works out there at the course. And he gave me some updates on what the conditions are going to be this week. We'll see if Hartman can pick the winner. What do you think?
DraftKings right now, Matt. How about this? Scotty, 3-1 to win.
I mean, last week you're getting 5-1, yeah, which is not great, but 5-1 is a lot better than 3-1. You know, a couple points this season, Tim. Scotty drifted up to 8-1.
Yeah.
Late in the summer.
By the way, the Rays have taken the lead over the Orioles 7-6. Still no outs in the bottom of the seventh inning. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they'll refund your membership. To learn more, start with a free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. ungambled.com/vsin. Promo code VSIN, excuse me, for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Quick update from our game of the night. What a start for the Cubs, Matt. Homer from PCA, homer from Seiya Suzuki. Bottom two right now, Cubs lead 2-0. Other game we've been keeping an eye on, you mentioned it as a live betting roller coaster. The Rays have now taken the lead back from the Orioles. 7-6 is the score. And the Rays are -468 live right now down at the Trop. The Red Sox up 4-0, massive live favorites, as you would imagine, -2,800 right now in the bottom of the fourth inning. Matt, what would you price out Deshaun Watson, Shador Sanders? Who will be week one starter?
Right now, I'd make Watson -200, maybe a little higher, but Watson's got to be a significant favorite.
Well, let's find out what the talk in town is following preseason game number one. My good friend Jonathan Peterlin, you can catch him afternoon drives on 92.3 The Fan with Nick Wilson, joins us right now courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Let's start with Deshaun. What was your takeaway from his performance in the preseason game, and where would you have him, JP, based off of the odds you just heard Matt put out there for him to be week one QB1?
It's good to join you as always. -200 is that's crazy. It's got to be like -5,000. it feels like Deshaun. I'm just reading this, and I read this every single day, and I go through this every day, and it's just Deshaun's a heavy favorite. Like, I can't even conceive a week that Shador would be able to have the way that they have set this thing up. So like today, for instance, they gave Shador the lighter reps with the ones. Tomorrow's the padded practice, the one that matters the most. That one's going to Deshaun. On Thursday, when he promised this was going to be Shador's week, all encompassing, everything was going to be Shador. Thursday, the joint practice against the Bills. Todd Monken has now made it. Deshaun Watson and Shador will split those reps, and then he's going to be able to play Saturday. But listening to the post-game press conference, he really made it seem like that was more courteous than it was anything else. Not many ones are going to be playing on Saturday, and not many ones for the Bills are going to be playing on Saturday. And so he's just kind of letting Shador go out there. So I don't think there's a thing Shador can do to now claim this job from Deshaun Watson. Now, the sad part about this, guys, and what you're asking, like, well, how did he play on Saturday? Deshaun was fine. He wasn't embarrassing, and I think that's all the Browns were really looking for. And so he passed that test. That's good enough for him.
Yeah, it was not embarrassing. You're right about that. I watched it, and it's all short passes at the line of scrimmage, five-yard passes. He didn't really take any chances. And then Shador came in, tried to push the ball down the field, threw a pick, did not play well. I said all along I would start Watson in the first month. You know, you invested so much in him in terms of the trade and the bad contract that give him a shot. Why not? Here, see what he can do in the first 4 or 6 weeks. And if he's bad, if you're losing, then you can go to Sanders if you have to do that. It's funny, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was pounding the drum the whole time. Sanders has got to be the Browns starter. He's got to be the Browns starter. He watches one preseason game, says, nah, it's got to be Watson. Tim, can we find a prop on this? I'm looking at DraftKings. I can't find
FanDuel right now. I believe Corey, our producer, has found FanDuel Watson minus 480.
There you go, Jonathan. Lay 480 on Watson and FanDuel. I think that sounds like you like that bet, right?
I feel like I'd be stealing money. Yeah, at this point, I can't come up the scenario that Shador takes this job. Barring the only thing that might save him is the idea that Deshaun Watson is one of the most injured quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, like, maybe that's why I wouldn't, like, you know, bet the paycheck on that to try to get minus 480 is because Deshaun's an injured guy. And you saw, I don't know how close of attention you guys paid to the game. You said you watched it, Matt. But, like, there was in the post game, Deshaun admitted, and Monken even talked about the idea that at one point his arm just kind of went, he got hit and he just had a dead arm situation. And so, like there's so many things that happened to him. Obviously, he's had the shoulder injuries, he's had the knee injuries, and the only hesitation I would have to him actually making it to be the week one starter would be the idea that I think he's made of glass, and so he might not get there just because he's so injured.
Yeah, I was not impressed by the way he played, and that's probably why my price was a little bit too low, but Sanders and Gabriel stunk too. What did you make of those two? I thought it was interesting, the announcers on the game, when Gabriel came in and said, this guy's got a cannon. At the combine, he had a stronger arm than Josh Allen. I said, what are they talking about? Anyway, Sanders and Gabriel, what'd you make of their performances?
All right, we'll start with Shador. Shador had the two best throws of the day. The one to Floria is, it's basically everything you see of Shador in a nutshell. There was highs and there was lows. And where I give him a little bit of a pass is the idea that he's once again in the third string offensive lineman, third string receivers, throwing to guys that were walk-ons mm-hmm. and guys that shouldn't even and will not be in the NFL. And so he's once again in this situation. We saw this last year in the regular season, guys, where he's in the spot where he just was trying to make magic out of anything. And he always does this. And I think this is what fans love about him, but it's also then you get the good with the bad. And that's where you saw that throw that he just airmailed, you know, by 15 feet and came absolutely nowhere close. It's him trying to force it, him trying to make something happen. But ultimately, I didn't think he had a bad day, all things considered, just one really bad throw. And then Dylan had a bad throw, and Dylan's not very good.
No, he's not. Jonathan, by the way, he's 70-1. Gabriel, 70-1 to be the week one starting quarterback.
Over at Kalshi, 85% chance for Deshaun Watson to be the week one starter. So if that price is still minus 480, you might actually be getting a little bit of a deal there. It's funny to look back at one point when Shador was the favorite, right around draft time he was the favorite, but since then it's been pretty much all Deshaun Watson. August 2nd, it was 50-50 for whatever reason there for these two. Jonathan Peterlin.
Well, I can tell you why, Tim.
Why
I can
is that?
Tell you why, not to cut you off there.
Yeah.
I go to the you know, training camp every day. We do shows from training camp every day, so I'm broadcasting as this is going on. about a week and a half ago, there was a practice. I'm telling you guys, at that point, Deshaun had not shown anything, and Deshaun had been unplayable. Unplayable, laughably bad. And in the last week and change, he's actually turned it around and has gotten better and has shown them enough. But if you saw the Deshaun I saw for the first week and a half of training camp, there is no world that man could have seen the field week one.
Laughably bad. That's a great description.
So have you seen? All right. So this is all negative. Casey Concepcion was one of my favorite college football players. Denzel Boston comes in from Washington. So they did get some unique talent. Give us, is there anything positive to report, JP, out of Browns camp so far?
Oh, a bunch to report, especially of the 2027 quarterback class. Now,
you're going to be watching a lot of college football this year, aren't you?
We're going to be big. We're going to be big in the college football world, no doubt about that. You hit it, though, Tim, as usual, you hit it. Concepcion, we're all in love with. Denzel Boston, we're all in love with. Spencer Fondos had kind of an up-and-down little path here, but he seems like he's going up against Jared Verse every day in practice. That's not going up against Myles Garrett, but Jared Verse still really good, and there's times he's been able to hold his own. It's really about last year's rookie class and then now this year's rookie class and moving this thing forward in the future when Andrew Berry's trying to build. It's exciting. We're just like a year or two away from real excitement.
You know, JP, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. And I know I've been in a market where the local team stinks and there's no hope going into the season. You're already looking to the draft. They're minus 200 to finish in last in the AFC North. Is there a reason to have optimism that they will not finish in last place in this division?
Yeah, sure. McCarthy and Rodgers might just stink up the joint.
True.
It's not as if that age defense is getting any better. They're getting older, and they stay expensive. And so there's a real possibility that if the Steelers win, I don't know, five or six games and just completely crash and just go down the way that some people project they will, that the Browns could finish with seven, maybe even eight wins. The Browns have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. They also have the least amount of travel miles in the NFL. They're very, very young, but that doesn't mean bad. We've seen some good teams be young in recent years. And so, there's a world that exists. I mean, I think realistically, if they hit the over at five and a half, that's a win for Monken and everybody. There's a world that exists where they get to seven wins. Steelers get six and they're not last.
Jonathan, how about this? I hated the coaching hire in the offseason. Of the 10 new head coaches, I rank him 10th. Yes. Yeah, I don't like Todd Monken. And you go back to some of the great Browns coaches of the past, like Chris Palmer, Eric Mangini, Mike Pettine, Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens. What have you seen from Todd Monken so far? By the way, I hated that 4th-and-2 power formation run up the middle in the second quarter Saturday. The play calling stuck.
When they made the hire, I was right there with you. I do agree, by the way. The play calling was not great in this game, and it was not. I hope that he was just testing some things out more than anything. Especially like you open up the game with three straight runs with Deshaun Watson. Like, aren't you trying to find out something with him? Didn't love that. But I'll tell you this. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's even good. We don't know. We haven't seen him coached any games. As far as practices are concerned, it's night and day different. And like last year and years past, Stefanski got this thing to be Club Med. It was like a spa out there for these guys. That's not what Monken does. And Monken is, if you have old school football coach, that's where he's checking off all the boxes. He's really tough practices. They're taking it longer than any practice Stefanski would ever have. It seems right, guys. It seems right.
Jonathan Peterlin, catch him afternoon drive there in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. And they are going to be Cleveland's number one shop for college football this week as they look at all those quarterbacks playing on Saturdays. JP, always appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
There he is, Jonathan Peterlin. Some insight where he believes Deshaun Watson, massive favorite to be week one starter.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tampa Bay Rays, Matt, flirted with a little issue there in the top of the eighth inning, but got out of it. No runs allowed. The Rays head to the bottom of the seventh, leading 7-6 over the Baltimore Orioles. That has been as Matt coined it, a roller coaster on the live betting market. And after getting out of that jam in the top of the eighth, Matt, Rays now minus 990 on the live line in that one, has just bumped a minus 1040.
Orioles trying to pull off a highly unlikely four-game sweep of the Rays on the road. By the way, got a message here from Matt Shrewsbury. You know the Shrews, the Parlay King from Fresno, California. Lifelong Cleveland Browns fan. And he was watching the Cleveland-Chicago game over the weekend and sent me a clip of Todd Monken said he's very encouraged by Deshaun Watson's performance against the Bears. He said, quote, long practices for the Browns will lead them to the playoffs. No more club men. I think he's being sarcastic. You know, it's interesting to me that Kevin Stefanski, who I thought was somewhat overrated, was a two-time NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
He did some good things. Browns snapped a playoff drought with Stefanski as coach. Not that they set the world on fire, but they weren't a dumpster fire like they usually are. And it's interesting to hear Jonathan Peterlin say, well, it's night and day. A former NFL Coach of the Year ran these easy practices, and now Todd Monken steps in. He's like a Marine drill sergeant. I don't know, Tim. Do you think this is going to work?
I do not. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one and done, but we'll find out. Maybe
if you watched the Browns-Bears game on Saturday, the play calling was horrendous on the part of Todd Monken and the Browns. It was laughably bad, as Jonathan Peterlin would say.
And you think about Todd Monken, when he was at Georgia, leading that team to a national championship as their offensive coordinator, goes to the Ravens, now the head coach of the Browns.
Well, he had some pitiful play-calling performances when he was with Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. 85% chance Deshaun Watson to be the week one starter at Kalshi right now. Up a touchdown on the Boston Red Sox, bottom of the fifth inning, as they try to head in the right direction after three straight series L's, which is stunning considering they had won, 11 series in a row, Matt? Mm-hmm. So the Boston Red Sox up on the Arizona Diamondbacks right now. Our game of the night, the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. What a start for the Cubs here as you got a solo homer for Pete Crow Armstrong, followed by a homer from Seiya Suzuki. 2-0 remains the score in that one. Just a moment ago, Matt, we got a couple of runs from the Philadelphia Phillies in the bottom of the sixth, including a Kyle Schwarber sack fly. And that lead is now 4-1 for the Philadelphia Phillies. Just underway, Matt, in Denver, the Colorado Rockies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We would not be talking about an Angels game. Dodgers, Rockies, no score. Head to the bottom of the first inning.
Dodgers -230 at DraftKings. You could lay 2.5 runs at even money. Total in the game, 9.5. I find it hard to lay a run and a half, especially 2.5 with the Dodgers, the way their bats are slumping right now. This team's just kind of lethargic. And we kept seeing old and slow is what we kept saying last week about the Dodgers. And that's what they looked like over the weekend against the Brewers. See if they can snap out of it tonight at Coors Field. But scoreless in the first inning so far. And by Kyle Tucker, just a terrible weekend. 0-for-19 at the plate, Tim. You saw the fly ball he dropped in right field yesterday. He was hearing the boos at Dodgers Stadium over the weekend. Tucker, 0-for-19 with two walks, dropped a fly ball. And fans are finally venting some frustrations about Kyle Tucker. I think, you know, when a guy is perceived to be overpaid, he doesn't have as, long a rope with a lot of the fans are not going to be as patient with him.
Yeah, as you mentioned, a homestand where he went 0-for-19, couple of walks, dropped a fly ball yesterday against the Brewers, an OPS at home this year of 566. Not what you hope to have there in your on-base plus slugging.
About Kyle Tucker? He's got no personality whatsoever. You ever hear his interviews? It looks like he doesn't even care about the game. He's very boring.
Sometimes that works if you're Anthony Rendon when you play for the Nationals, and then it doesn't work when you're Anthony Rendon when you play for the Angels.
What a disaster that contract was for the Angels. But here's another thing about Kyle Tucker I don't like. He's wearing number 23 for the Dodgers. You know who I would say the most famous Dodger to wear number 23 was?
Are we talking numbers? Jaden Daniels.
Dodgers. How about Kirk Gibson when he hit the homer, right? Hit the homer against the A's. Kirk Gibson wore number 23. Kyle Tucker is a disgrace to the Dodgers jersey with number 23 on it.
I didn't think I'd get you that fired up about Kyle Tucker.
How about the Dodgers defense? They're starting to look a little bit more like the Yankees with all the errors they've been committing.
First 92 games of the season, MLB best, 26 errors, Matt. Last 33 games, 25 errors. Third worst in MLB. So,
well, I got a couple of good arms out in the bullpen, too, but I don't think anybody does right now. I know Dave Roberts doesn't even trust him. Edwin Diaz is going to be a problem. I'm going to say it again. Roky Sasaki's got to be moved to the bullpen. He's unreliable as a starter, but he was really good out of the bullpen last year, and I think that's going to be eventually going to be the Dodgers' closer.
All that being said, Matt, when the Skubal trade went down,
yeah,
the Dodgers were plus 150, yeah, and now they're plus 170. So the books are like, great, they can't field. They're losing series to the Brewers. We ain't moving the number.
No, and I can understand that, too, because, you know, baseball, things change quickly. We got 6 weeks until October, and when we get to October, Tim, you look at that Dodgers starting rotation, what more could you ask for, really, when you get to the playoffs? You could send out Skubal, Ohtani, you got Blake Snell, Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You got five guys, and you only need three, really, to get through a playoff series, and the Dodgers are stacked. Now, the Yankees could have a great rotation when we get to the playoffs, too, with, you know, Cam Schlittler, Max Fried, Garrett Cole. But we got some bad news about Max Fried today, right?
We did. We also had some good news as Carlos Rodon is expected back, I believe, tomorrow. Is that right? He's going to make his return there.
I don't know if that's great news.
Well, he will make his return tomorrow. But yes, Max Fried, Matt, has been placed on the injured list. He is dealing with a left elbow bone bruise. So retroactive to Friday, August 14th, the Yankees have placed Max Fried on the IL.
And Fried's been pitching great. Actually, Weathers has been great. The Yankees starting pitching has not been the problem. Creating offense has been a big problem. But again, they hope to get Bellinger, Judge, Stanton, some of these guys back in September.
Quick update on the Dodgers scoreless. Blake Snell pitching this evening for Los Angeles. Bottom of the first in Denver. Deep drive to center, not deep enough. Off the bat of Ian Happ. Alex Bregman tags from second to third. So a man at third, but two outs. Bottom of the third inning. Cubs with a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, Castillo settled down. He gave up home runs to start the game back-to-back. Pete Crow-Armstrong went deep, and the Cubs have not been able to get a run since. I really can't tell, you know, by watching this game, it looks like the wind might not be a factor at all.
Watching some of the pregame festivities on Marquee Network, and it didn't look like the flags out in center field were really doing much of anything. So as Sammy P. let us know every once in a while, I mean, the winds could shift certainly there. Cubs right now at DraftKings, plus 650 to win the NL pennant. They have the fourth shortest odds. Braves at 5-1. Brewers plus 475. Dodgers minus 105. Matt, if you were given a yes-no prop, would you bet the no on the Dodgers to win the NL pennant?
I'm thinking about betting the no. Yeah, so if there's a line drive, got knocked down, and that saves a run. White Sox get out of trouble. Castillo with a nice defensive play. I'm thinking about betting the no on the Dodgers. Hey, look, we don't know which teams are going to have to face when they get to the playoffs, but look, the Brewers, Cubs, Phillies, Braves, all these teams are capable.
And the Padres are never scared of the Dodgers, too. So we'll see if the Padres do get into the playoffs. Speaking of the playoff, Matt, some good nuggets courtesy of our buddy Brett McMurphy. He's going to join us top of the hour as the AP poll is out, and you've got plenty of predictions on who's going to win the national championship over in our VSiN college football betting guide, which you can get right now for as little as $9.99. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. You've got Matt's preseason top 50 in collaboration with Paul Stone. Previews of all 138 teams. You've got Heisman betting opportunities, Paul Stone's top 15 quarterbacks, and lots of best bets. And you can get it for as little as $9.99, Matt.
That's a steal of a deal, Tim.
VSiN intro offer. And actually, you get our NFL betting guide, too, with that intro offer, which is outrageous. You can get our college football and our NFL betting guides for just $9.99.
We got the man, the myth, the mustache, McMurphy up next.
The one and only Brett McMurphy, America's insider, joins us next.